live from the burial grounds in the year 2020, where the cicadas sing songs of freedom to the masses of humanity, and the homebrews flow freely on the earth, and the earth axis has reversed by the shores of Lake Maspinock. Whatever, I don't remember what I'm doing. Welcome to the Art Shed. I'm here, I'm Mad Carl.
I'm Normal Andy.
I'm Producer Chris.
And I don't know why I'm here, Dan.
Oh, Dan, you're still here.
Hey,
oh,
what the right. fuck? I thought we kicked you out of here, man.
I know. Well, I guess we're going to have to do another episode.
Oh, shit. Wait. Sorry.
Oh, it's all right, man. Dude, you were doing important stuff. Yeah. You were pouring a beer.
A beer. I forgot to shut down the freaking intro.
Yeah. Yeah. So for people who missed last episode, you should probably this is like a two parter. So you got to know what happens in the first episode to understand this episode. I mean, that's probably not true at all.
Or you could actually just listen to this.
You could do it old school style.
We're like a couple beers deep by this part, and we're hitting our stride.
Exactly.
So this might be the better one.
This is like bowling, your second string of bowling.
Right.
When you've had your two or three beers in, and you're starting to get like some spares and strikes on a regular basis.
We're the seventh inning of softball, where you're just fucking starting cranking it out of the freaking park.
But it's before, by the end of the episode, it'll be like the third string of bowling, where you just, it's all gutters.
Yeah. Just sloppy drunk.
Sloppy drunk.
Yeah. Anyway. It applies to playing pool too.
Yeah. There's definitely like a moment where you're really good at pool.
Definitely apply. Oh, beyond applies to playing pool. Chris, that might be the way to go there.
Yeah.
So Andy, we're here with Dan the Man.
Yeah, Dan Driscoll. He's a stop motion animator. I went to school with him. Full disclosure. That's how we know each other. We were roommates for a little while. And
a couple times.
Carl, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Carl's been to our old apartment. And then you were roommates with me and my brother, Phil.
Yeah.
Really?
In L.A., right before Dan left L.A.
He's just fleeing you everywhere.
Yeah, and Phil stole Dan's car. Phil totally stole Dan's car. He drove it up here last week.
You drove that from L.A. to...
From L.A. to New York.
Me and Phil drove
that car from New York to L.A.
Holy moly. Wow, yeah. So that's originally an East Coast car.
Yes, it is.
That's amazing.
It's got salt stains on it and everything. And Phil drove a shitbox to California.
You had like a special tradition you guys would do on the road.
Oh, yeah, we went jumping. Every time... Back in the like early, I don't know, mid-90s, we drove to L.A.
And you still had to use a camera with film?
We had to use a camera with film, so we'd stop at... Once we got on each other's nerves, we'd stop somewhere and we'd go to any weird fucking... As soon as you get in the West, there's like crazy, like... You're driving through New Mexico and all of a sudden there's like, oh, go to the Crystal Caverns or something like that. And it's like this weird, stop in the middle of nowhere. It's a cavern or something with like some hillbilly. When you give them a nickel, they show you the caverns or something like that, or an Indian burial ground or something. But everywhere we went, we jumped and we took photos of us jumping.
Yeah, so it looked like they were kind of flying through the air. At least that was the.
Yeah, we have one of Phil. It looks like Phil's jumping into the Grand Canyon. And we right at it's this a, part we
it's a pretty awesome photo.
And Phil, you know how spiritual Phil's very spiritual. So he's like, we're in the middle of the desert, and he's like, oh, this is there was an Indian American Native American like place where they lived. I don't know what's it called.
A pueblo?
No. This is real. Hmm.
A reservation. Pueblos aren't real.
They are real, Carl. Yeah.
People still live there. You know what I mean? So we started, Phil's like, let's go visit them. So we started driving in, and this guy in a pickup truck fucking like cuts us off with a shotgun and is like, you can't come in here.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, okay. So we drove
Spirit
away.
Journey ended.
Yeah, yeah. So we drove away, and then we drove to this weird cross bar in the middle of Arizona. It was like a crossroads bar. There was nothing else for miles.
Did you make any deals while you were there?
Yeah, right. At the crossroads. And there was like a million hats stapled. Like there was a million hats stapled to the ceiling of this bar. Me and Phil were the only ones in there, and
without hats.
Yeah, without hats. We just stapled our hats to the ceiling. You know, what else did we do? One other thing is we broke down in this little...
Like emotional breakdown.
No, yeah. The car broke down. Oh, the shitbox broke down in this hobo town.
And this was a car... Isn't that the car Phil painted like with leaves? He like spray painted leaves outlines on?
It was like... We're in the middle of the country. We didn't have radio. All we had was Christian radio at some point. And we went into this our car broke down, and Phil wanted to trade a painting to have the car fixed. And then we went into this bar, and we were like,
"Wait, was he able to accomplish that?"
I don't remember.
Okay.
And then we went into this bar, and freaking the locals were like, nobody. I mean, this was back in the day. People didn't like travel through this little town, and like this girl like starts hanging out with us, and this her boyfriend was like, he was eyeing us like he wanted to kill us.
And right, then, like, you were like
because
the
we
intruders.
Were the interesting travelers.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, and it was awesome.
You've been to the outside world.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me about the outside world.
right. And then this is like this guy freaking eyeing us. The bar, I'm like, okay, you know, this is par for the course for me and Phil. We had all sorts of crazy times, and I could actually go into it a lot further, but we're interviewing Dan.
Oh, yeah, Dan's here. Dan. Oh, I mean, just to stick on the subject of travel, like, I mean, we talked a little bit about how you bought a tiny house in New York, but we didn't talk about, like, the whole thing of, like, we were both in LA for a long time. You were there much longer than I was, I think. Maybe not. But I was there 10 years.
I think you were probably there longer than I was.
But okay.
I went to grad school after
Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, there's a lot of things. Like, I feel like I mean, this kind of describes everyone who goes to LA. But it's like you go to LA, you either burn out on LA and leave, or you stay there. And...
Right. Yeah, it seems to be like the life cycle of entertainment.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, and maybe it would have been different if we didn't have kids. But I mean, honestly, the whole high school thing was pretty sketchy to us.
Yeah. And that was so. Just to recap, why did you leave LA? The schools are terrible.
I mean, I think at that time we were in the middle of a drought, and it just seemed really, you know, that was really ominous.
You mean the drought that's been going on for like 30 years?
Oh, we left and suddenly it started raining and everyone's like, ah, the drought's over, you fools that left.
Yeah.
Now it's way worse.
I think the joke's on everyone who stayed.
Yeah. And, the thing with stop motion is no matter how well people try to plan, there's always you're gonna work for 6 to 9 months, and it doesn't matter how many like studios there are going at you know any one time, you're gonna end up not working for like 3 months.
Right.
So any money you may have made that you put aside during that 9 months just evaporates.
Gets used up.
Yeah.
And it's something where like you kind of got to go where the work is. So I know like you've had to move to where your family wasn't to do a job and stuff like that, right?
Right.
Like you were, like we were saying, you were me and Phil's roommate for like, I don't remember how long. I was really depressed when you were living there, so I apologize for that.
Imagine my wife. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, that was, how long, I moved in with you because we had sold the house.
Yeah.
And I think it was like the last, like my last season of Robot Chicken. I was wrapping up that.
Right.
And then, that's, or was it Super Mansion? I can't remember. It might've been Super Mansion, the first season of that. I can't remember. It was something.
Yeah, it might have been Super Mansion.
It was something like, I can't remember what show it was. It might have been Super Mansion. And then, The idea was to move to upstate New York, live simply, and then every once in a while, maybe travel to LA and work.
Right.
But because we filmed moving and living into it, or moving into a tiny house, and put it on TV, an old friend of mine saw that episode. And he's like, hey,
right. to just recap the tiny TV.
You can take the family out of LA, but you can't take the LA out of the family.
Right. They bought a tiny house and then they ended up on an, what's that? What's the channel called?
HGTV. Yeah.
HGTV.
Tiny House Hunters
show.
So, wait. Can you go over what they gave you to be in the show? Did they pay you?
They gave us airplane tickets to fly from LA to New York to see that.
That's
house.
It?
I think so. I can't. I mean, I don't
know. What?
I can't remember. I don't think we got paid.
I thought they paid for your house, but I guess after hearing your story last episode, I know that's not true.
So how they totally host you guys? So they make you like pretend to be somebody you're not. Like, what's the point? Like, really? It's almost like they invite you onto a podcast and just make you talk.
Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, I know we're giving you the going rate for being on a podcast which is zero money.
Yeah. Right.
And a two-parter to boot.
Yeah, exactly.
When does the OT kick in?
Yeah, exactly.
I know. Well, this is it.
The only thing that kicks in is the OD.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Two-parter. You're at least four beers in.
At the end of it.
But people will go on to reality shows for just to be on TV.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like no one gets paid for any of that stuff. No.
Right. Yeah. But you moved. So somebody saw you on.
Right.
On this Tiny House Hunters show. And what happened?
My current boss in Connecticut.
He already knew you though, right?
Yeah. We had worked together years ago on a show called The Little People. The Fisher Price. Little People.
Right.
Oh,
whoa.
Oh, yeah. The Little People.
Those guys
are
awesome.
Up with those things.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a show.
It was a, they did these stop motion, like little shorts that they package with some of the toys, like on DVD.
That's cool.
I love those things.
Yeah.
There was like a kid with like a hat that was on backwards.
Yeah.
Freckles. I called him Jimmy.
Yeah.
I can still hear like the moo when you open the barn door from there.
Right.
Yeah.
That's you're talking our language right here. If you're old like us, we are playing like with the little people.
Toys you play with when you're like 3 years old. That's our
wheelhouse.
They
didn't have arms. They only had, they were just like a just body heads. With a head.
Oh, it's just like simplicity of design.
Right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
The guy I worked for on that, he actually created Little Bob, the puppet, the character. Okay.
I'm sorry I keep butting in, but I just want to make sure people know what we're talking about.
Oh, yes.
What is Little Bob?
Little Bob is the mascot, spokes puppet of Bob's Discount Furniture.
Right.
And
they're giving us a discount? On our furniture, right?
You know what? They do a good job because
for these episodes,
I can like as soon as you say that, I have like a complete picture of Bob puppet in my head, like, and I think everybody does.
Yeah. Well, I think it's an East Coast thing, though, right?
Oh, really?
No. No, they're out in Chicago. I can tell you that. I see the ads here.
We have like, I should know, but we have 7 or 8 stores in Los Angeles now.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I take it back.
It's pretty crazy. Well, it was after you left, so.
Yeah, okay. Oh, you waited till I leave.
Yeah,
I
right. The people working at Bob's knew me, and it was supposed to be just like a freelance job. Like, come on out and do some work for us before the next season of Robot Chicken starts. I'm like, oh, I can do that for a couple of weeks. And they offered me a job, and my wife and I kind of laughed at each other and was like, well, we've lived in this house, the tiny house, for almost a year, and I guess it's time to move again. And that's what we did.
Where'd you move to?
We now live in a little town called Glastonbury, Connecticut, right outside of Hartford.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I know that.
And yeah, actually, I don't think I mentioned it. The Bob's Animation Studio is located in the back of an actual furniture store.
That's awesome. Do you have a like separate entrance you go in, or do you have to go in the front
door?
I
guess I could go in the front door, but I mean, it's in the back. Us low lifes go in the back.
No, man, that's the executive door.
Right.
That's the important people's door.
But there are plenty of times where we will be walking around like with a puppet, looking at furniture and posing. Like, now when we get this piece of furniture, this is how we're going to we're on the
right
showroom.
Oh, wow.
Like thinking about like the next ad that's coming.
Do you shoot the ads in the showroom or?
No.
They must have a sound studio or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We have stages like all that. Yeah. If you go online, all the furniture is shot in the back of the store. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty amazing that a furniture store would have an animation studio in the back of it.
It's kind of amazing that any store would have an animation studio in the back. I don't know if you could think of, I mean, I don't know how many like department stores have their own advertising.
What about the General?
Yeah, the General. I would imagine, I don't know. You think
maybe they hire someone to do it.
Phil acted for the General.
Yeah, our brother Phil was in a General commercial.
Yeah. Oh, was he?
Yeah, he played a blues man. No, he was like a slide guitarist in this commercial. He just sat on a stool and said a few things. And then at the very end of the commercial, he pretends like he's about to play guitar. But the secret is Phil does not know how to play guitar. So he was a good actor. He was able to pull it off.
Yeah.
And it still haunts him to this day, that commercial.
So he couldn't play the guitar?
No, that he was in a commercial for the General.
And I mean, Phil does not sell out. Phil does not sell out. He'll sleep on a floor and eat pita bread before he will sell out. So that's shocking that he would.
I think at that point he was just trying to get some gigs in LA.
No, I get
to
it,
make
dude.
A name for himself. And
right, you know. Right. But I've never seen. Phil, I would say Phil is somebody who does not sell.
I know. Him. Well, he never went to the casting couch, so.
Yeah, that's for sure.
As far as I know.
I mean, only probably if he wanted to, I'm sure. Anyway, yeah.
Well, Carl, on the other hand, would turn this entire show over to Bob's Discount Furniture for a table to put the computer on.
I know.
Right, and it'd be like every other... And we have to pause for me to say Bob's Discount Furniture is the best furniture ever. You know, every 20 seconds, nobody would listen to it anymore.
But, he's classy enough that he would hide it in a way where it would seem like a joke. Or maybe,
maybe
we'd get
a
guest on the show.
I didn't really get a table. Yeah, okay, I did.
So they brought back the gladiator with the refrigerator in the armrest.
Nice.
And the beer pops out. I'm drinking. Yeah. You know, so actually, I want to say something about this show is we haven't sold out at all.
Yet.
We have no – I could have sponsors, but I have no sponsors because I don't want to torture my friends.
Who could you have for sponsors? Who are these sponsors you turned away?
Currently looking for a beer sponsor.
I actually could. There's like a switch I could turn on in Anchor, and it would just give us sponsors. It would play commercials throughout the whole thing.
Oh right.
Right. Gotcha.
But I'm like, fuck that. I don't want to torture anybody with sponsors. Like fuck that, man. You guys get enough commercials. If you're watching this, you're just gonna hear Mad Carl, Dan the Man, Chris. Kirsha, hire Mendesel and Andy.
And you know, when I'm cracking into a Springdale beer company, Kolsch, money, German style Kolsch, like doing these podcasts when I'm drinking that.
I'm drinking a fucking Guinness. So if fucking Guinness wants to fucking sponsor me, fucking go ahead.
Yeah, and we're not going to sell out.
Unless Guinness gives me like a keg of Guinness. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. You know, hang out with Guinness. Well, there was. Do you guys remember this bar? Oh, go on, Dan. Sorry.
It's funny that you mentioned, like, on Instagram, I haven't done it like for like a week now because I've been focusing on like this whole like this whole random or Chancetober thing. But I've been like every morning I've been drawing like a coffee cup.
Yeah, then... I've checked that out.
Yeah. Oh, we'll go. Well, finish your thought, and then maybe talk about Chancetober is.
I'm still drawing them. I just haven't been posting them because I've been busy.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, like a coffee company would like my thing or have like a little comment and I'd totally. Like, oh, who's this person? And like, oh, it's a coffee company. And I'm like, and I'd be like, can I ask you guys to send me coffee and I'll draw it? And they would never respond. So now I'm like, I would love a coffee sponsor because I drink too much coffee.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I don't need money. I just need.
You would draw a coffee cup for a coffee sponsor.
I could probably work in like the brand at the, a little corner at
Right.
Yeah. Brought to you today by Toll House or something.
Subliminally.
Right.
You could be Maxwell House in like a spilled coffee stain, like Maxwell House would be subliminally in there. That'd be fucking awesome, dude.
No, that's weird though, because I actually got contacted by a French press company asking me to like do a partnership with them on Instagram, and they were going to give me a French press, and I was like, I've got three of them. I have two of them.
Yeah,
so I don't need one. So I'm like, all my stuff is like I cook food on fires. It didn't make any sense. And then it was like, but then I broke both of my French presses like in the following week. So I think they did something to me.
Yeah.
So now I won't partner with them at all because they broke my French presses.
But you can get a replacement French press.
They could.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. What the fuck? Like, what does this partnership consist of, Chris?
Like, I would say, wow, look at this great thing they gave me. I really love it.
For one picture?
Yeah, and like whatever for them. I mean, I think like on Amazon, the French press that they were offering to send me was like $16.
Oh, so it probably cost like
$5 to $8 for them. You know, I mean, that includes postage.
So for one post, you could get a $16 French press. That's not bad.
Yeah. I know. Now I would do it because they screwed it up because they broke my other ones after they asked me.
Right.
And if they'd done it before,
I didn't realize it was an offer you couldn't refuse.
Right. Right.
And then there was a horse head in his bed afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So here's something interesting we learned during the break. Dan has listened to every episode. Like, I didn't think anybody listened to our episodes.
Yeah. We're only like four, right? Five?
Yeah, four, I think.
Is there four? No, there's five.
There's five? Okay, there's five.
Wait.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I know there's five. There's more than four. And there's less than six, so there's got to be five.
Process of elimination, it's five.
Yeah. I think you've listened to more episodes than I have, Dan.
I've listened to them all. No, there is five.
Well, you're editing them, Carl.
And actually, anybody listening to this, please write in.
So let's do mailbag first.
We don't have a mailbag.
Oh, come on. You're ruining the joke. All right, let's do mailbag. Mailbag. Carl.
Oh, let's do the mailbag.
Do the mailbag
song. Let me put the mailbag song on.
Questions. Got your questions here.
All right. So
what's in the mailbag this week, Carl?
Nothing.
What?
Nobody has asked us a question.
Oh, man, why isn't anyone asking questions?
I don't think anybody listens to us.
Okay. Well, we know Dan listens.
I asked a question.
What was your question?
Oh, what was the question?
My question. Well, it was for.
Did you ask me?
We answered it, I think.
It was. Yeah,
in the second episode.
It was the brain guy. Sorry, I can't remember his name.
Oh yeah,
it was Matrice. About
my words don't sound
Matrix.
Right.
When,
yeah,
well, that was a good question.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was Matisse.
Matisse, that's it.
Matthias.
Matthias.
Medrick. Come on, this guy's super famous. We keep
Matrix.
We keep mispronouncing his name.
He's from Netherlands.
Yeah,
Matthijs van Schleppelberry or something like that.
Schmedrick, I believe.
Schmedrick, yeah.
I thought it was Luxembourg.
We offended Schmedley.
I think his name and where he was from changed throughout the entire episode.
Matthijs. I think it was Matthijs.
Well, I know you think it was Matthijs.
Matthijs.
Okay, well, instead of living in the past, let's get to the present and ask Dan what did you think of the ones you've listened to? Were there any?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Give any? Us the... Do you have any suggestions on how it can improve?
I really enjoyed it.
Be brutal.
No, I really enjoyed them. I think Carl and I have chatted a little bit, like, or texted back and forth. Like, it's almost like having a conversation, like, with Andy.
Yeah.
Like, when I lived with you.
Yeah.
So I listened to this conversation. I'm like, man, it was really good hanging out with Andy today. And then, like, oh, wait a minute. I just listened to the podcast while I was working. I didn't actually talk to him today.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love the conversational tone. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. I can't say I retain any information if there is
excellent.
Any.
Excellent. So you're right there with us.
Yeah. No, you're not. Yes. You're not going to retain anything.
Right.
And actually, I think during the COVID times, people don't really hang out anymore. So this is kind of our way of like hanging out with people.
Right.
Yeah.
And
well, it's this is actually this is totally how I hang out with my friends now is
Zoom in.
Yes. No. I have a friend who has a Twitch channel and YouTube channel, and all he talks about is miniature gaming.
Yeah.
Ah.
A bunch of us, we play this miniatures game called X-Wing, Star Wars X-Wing.
Oh yeah. Yep.
You were really into that when you were living in the house.
I know. I'm still.
You
really...
left a bunch of pieces, actually.
I what?
You left a bunch of pieces.
Did I?
From X-Wing, and you left a giant stand up from Super Mansion.
Yeah.
We got rid of those things though.
That's fine.
Yeah. I figured. Yeah.
I didn't think there was any way I could get that home. But yeah, so we play online. There's a whole community that's kind of rebuilt the game so people can play online. It's not
nice. It's
not an official like
right.
You know, Disney sponsored thing or anything like that. So don't shut us down. But yeah, once a week we all get together online and like, I mean, I think a lot of people are just all their friends are online playing games and that's what we're all doing now. It's really weird.
Yeah.
Dude. If I wasn't doing the podcast right now, I'd be playing Pandemic with some friends.
Right.
Yeah.
In real life.
In both.
Yeah. What's Pandemic?
Is that?
It's a game. It's like a yeah.
It's a game and it's real life.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
I know.
Yes.
Sorry. I know. Why the fuck would you pay Pandemic in a pandemic?
Well, it makes sense. I don't know. That was one of the options. What were the other ones? Sagrada? I don't know what that one is. Splendor? I don't know.
That's a sugar substitute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when I moved back to Massachusetts from L.A., and COVID started happening, I started playing 5th edition D&D over Zoom or maybe it was anyway, it was one of those things with a bunch of my friends in high school I used to play D&D with. So it's really funny and weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carl was on a group that we have here, a campaign we had going in Chicago. Carl was in on a few of the adventures on that.
Nice.
And that's we have like a combo thing of like Zoom and then also like Roll20 and what's the other, we have like three things and D&D Beyond. We've got like three sites all going at once just to play the game.
It's crazy. Here's the problem with me is I work in a lab, so I still have to go into work, so Chris is in Chicago, so he's an hour ahead of me, so I was dragging ass in work, so I couldn't do it. Like I can do I couldn't do it during the week. I was just like, you guys are ahead of me. So if you guys play till 12 your time, it's 1 my time or 2.
Right.
You have to be like, you know, it was fine during the start of the pandemic when nobody was going in. But I mean, I had to go in like right away, like almost right away. I was back to work. I was.
That seems like another week or two, you'll be back home. So,
right.
Yeah.
Jesus. But,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, who knows if. If chaos happens during the election, I'm sure we'll all be
hiding out
in hiding in the shed. I'll have a, you know, my son, like he's getting prepared. He's like, Dad, let's play zombie apocalypse, and like he'll like grab like a like and not on a video game. He wants to play zombie apocalypse in real life, so he has like a toy gun, a stick. You know, like here's my sword, and then he has a walkie-talkie, and we're like hiding in his room, and he's like talking to the base, and then I have to go out, and I get killed by freaking zombies, and then you know he has to go stab, and then I have become a zombie, then he stabs me like 50 times, and I've become like multiple zombies. You know, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
Andy asked him if Andy comes to the shed, I can't even have him.
Yeah, I can't go inside because his son won't leave me alone.
Yeah, Uncle Andy.
He's got projects for me.
Yeah, right. He'll make Andy draw, and then he'll like make Andy.
We have like a 30-page children's book we're working on.
And he's like the worst art director you'll ever, like he's a slave driver.
Traditional art director, I would say.
Yeah, he's like a slave driver art director.
Yeah.
No, Andy, try it this way.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah, that's wrong.
He tells me that my drawings are wrong all the time.
Oh, dude, I had to draw 5 different knights for him. I drew a knight.
And oh,
he's like, that's messed up. Draw the knight again. So I drew the knight again. He's like, no, that part's messed up. The sword's messed up. And then he's like, the symbol on the shield is wrong. Draw this other symbol. Like, so I'm like, and I'm tracing the last knight, and I'm like drawing it again. And because he wanted, and then he has me glue it to a freaking cardboard and then cut it into a puzzle piece, and then he'll assemble it into a puzzle. But it has to be perfect before we do that.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool, but it's hard drawing 7 knights in a row, like of the same knight. And if one little part is wrong, then you have to do it again.
Yeah. Well, you got to get him into like some lobster puzzles.
Yeah. That's an inside joke.
Yeah. I was about to say, I don't understand why that was so funny. But...
Well, because I do art, right? I paint.
Oh, yeah. You draw lobsters.
I do mini lobsters. And like I don't sell any paintings, but everybody wants a mini lobster. So I do a painting of a lobster, and then somebody's like, I'll buy that. And I sold it, and then somebody will be like, and I don't sell it for that much. You know, I just sell it for a little bit of money, and I send it up. It's a mini lobster. And then they'll be like, oh, I want that lobster. And I'll be like, yeah, I get the lobster. So I'll just paint another one. And then somebody else will see that and be like, I want the lobster. So I just keep painting lobsters, you know, like in a cycle of lobsters, you know, like. Yeah.
Give the people what they want. They want lobster.
Yeah, that's what I say. Man. Yeah. You want a lobster? I'll paint you a freaking lobster. I don't mind doing it.
Yeah. But hey, we got this great guest here, Dan Driscoll.
Ooh, whoa. Hey.
Animator. Hey, Dan. sorry to cut you off.
We
do go on tangents.
Whoa, this is great.
But like, how is the, like, I know you usually would go into the office. We talked a little bit about. Yeah. Animation studio, but you can't do that right now, right?
I guess technically I could. When all this originally started happening, that, you know, I think everyone has kind of the same story, which was, hey, there's this COVID thing, we're going to shut down for 2 weeks and it's going to blow over. And I don't know if it's because I listened to some conspiracy show podcasts or, you know, whatever it is, but I'm like, I've been hearing about this COVID thing for like at least a month or two before people in the United States started panicking. So when people in the United States started panicking, I'm like, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're not going to be shut down for 2 weeks. So I actually packed up an entire studio's worth of gear, like lights, camera, computer, an actual stage, like for Lily and like Little Bob.
He stole Little Bob.
He's on the run. He's on the lam in my basement. And yeah, I set up in my basement, and I've, you know, any of the more recent ads that have been made have been shot in the cellar.
How many ads do you think you've made in the cellar?
Sadly, not too many. Three or four, maybe five. It's interesting because everything shut down. Like, we actually, like, I mean, I think, you know, the supply chains have still been pretty disrupted.
Right.
So, you know, there's been a whole, I'm not even sure how much I should say, but it seems like there's been a lot of disruptions as far as, like I said, supply chains with our producers, which are not in China. So,
right.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dan, you're saying that you're doing this at home now, and we were talking earlier in the first part about how, you know, really it is something that people can do. And as I was talking about, you know, at the most basic level, just using an iPhone and some Legos, if someone wanted to try to do, maybe just take a step up from that and do something at home, is there anything you would recommend to them to get for a camera that wouldn't be too much, and what sort of setup and what sort of things they would need to consider if they wanted to try doing their own project at home?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I think if you're looking at a camera, you'd want a camera that you could like lock the exposure and, you know, lock, you know, the white, you don't want it like the white balance and, you know,
you want
something kind of manual so it doesn't flicker.
Right.
And that means you take one picture at a time, right?
Yeah. You are taking one picture at a time, and between the, you know, depending on, you know, even the electricity in your house, sometimes, you know, the exposure can shift a little.
Because
your light, you know, there's a lot of dirty power in your house.
Yeah, and even the objects in the frame too, if it's doing an automatic exposure, if it's a lighter background, it might,
if your character moves in front of a lighter background, the exposure can change.
We're still talking about amateur though. So that probably doesn't matter that much.
Even your iPhone, you can lock the exposure. I mean, a lot of these cameras, you can lock the exposure down. Even like some of these web cameras, you know, almost any camera these days, like webcam, can lock exposure and stuff like that. So
how do you do that?
It depends on the specific camera.
There are different settings. Yeah. I mean, Andy, when you shoot your videos, you use a specific camera like that's made for shooting art, right?
I mean, I guess so. I bought this thing. It's called the iPivo. I don't remember the exact thing, but it's like, it's actually for like shooting books. So you can like import books into the computer basically and flip the pages, but you can shoot frame by frame or you can shoot video or whatever. And I just use that. And I don't know.
It seems like there's a lot of like exposure changes or anything like that. So yeah, I mean, it seems like.
Yeah, and you know, I have the setup where I have these lights set up and I don't move them. And, you know, sometimes I take different, like I'll do it at different times of day because some drawings take, you know, hours upon hours to do.
True.
And so like, I don't know if anyone else notices this, but when I watch the videos, I'm like, oh, that's when it was afternoon and that's when it was evening.
Yeah.
Because I don't really have that professional a setup.
No, I get it, dude. You notice stuff that other people aren't going to notice it.
Well, you can, I mean, I like that stuff because you can see that time is actually passing.
Right, exactly. I agree with that statement.
I've been shooting these drawing videos and I have two lights on the side and it's in the basement, so there's no natural light coming in.
Yeah.
So it's all pretty, I mean, who knows how long it takes, I guess.
You're a cellar dweller.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want to talk about how, like, I know we off a microphone we kind of talked a little bit about how like you're kind of you've been doing commercial work, like working on TV shows and movies for a long time, and now you're starting to kind of get back into your own personal work again. Like, how does that feel?
It feels really good for myself. I don't know how much my family appreciates me like almost always living in the basement, but it has been really nice, you know, just coming back down and just, you know, doing whatever I want. And then, I started shooting video and put a couple of videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I like five people like it. I'm like, this is fun. And then, you know, Inktober rolled around a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that whole mess, which that's a pretty deep dive, so we're going to have to go into it. But I just
go into the mess.
Okay, so the Inktober mess is Jake Parker is coming out with he's the guy that invented Inktober.
And Inktober is a thing where every day in October you do an ink drawing.
Right.
It's pretty much it's like an art challenge.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It's like 31 prompts, one prompt a day, and you do the drawing every day. He's coming. I think a year ago he gotten like people were upset because he had trademarked the name Inktober, and people were upset about that. But whatever. Yeah. This year he announced a book that was supposed to come out like I think a month ago now. About Inktober every day. It was basically a drawing, how to draw with ink book. And he's been accused by, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's been accused by someone of plagiarism.
Hold on, I'll find out the name.
Why?
This other guy put out a book, and the content of the books are very, very similar.
Okay.
So but it's also like, I can see what the guy's saying, but I can also look at it and be like, well, this kind of stuff is in every other art book also.
So go over the prompts with us.
The Inktober prompts?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what they are.
Well, I mean, like why is like one guy accusing another guy of plagiarism? Because the prompts?
No, it's like...
No, the book.
It's about how the book is put together and arranged.
Right.
And,
yeah.
Oh.
And the wording used...
There are some eerie. There are. I mean, and I mean, I don't know how deep you want to get, but other people. I mean, first off, the guy that's the what's the guy's name?
Hold on, I'm almost there.
You're almost there.
Yeah. Well, keep talking.
So,
hold on.
So the book, Jake Parker's book, has not even come out yet, but he did do some like, hey, my book's coming out. Here's like a page. And on Amazon, it was, you know, there were pre-sales on Amazon, which had five pages. And then he went on Instagram and, like, did a flip through of his book. Like, you know, like a flip book. He just took it and flipped through all the pages, which is like a 30-second video. And this guy.
Alfonso Dunn is his name.
Yes, Alfonso Dunn. Alfonso Dunn saw all this stuff, and he actually, like, recorded the video to his computer and scrubbed through it frame by frame. And is claiming that these things are very similar to the book I wrote, like five or what, seven?
You wrote, or
no? That Alfonso Dunn made another book about working with ink, and it looks like it's a little more of an in-depth book than what Jake's putting together.
Right.
But, so, what is you got your people's opinion on it? What is your?
I mean, I can see. Oh, okay. Yeah. Dan, why don't you go?
I think there's another YouTuber who actually went out and had his like and gathered like other art books. And it seems like the Jake, like first off you're dealing like I said, with some screen grabs and maybe five images. So you have the evidence is sparse, but it seems like the evidence that is there, like it parallels Dunn's work a lot more than like the five or six other, like if you were to grab other five, like books are like fundamental intro to art books, it seems like it aligns a lot more with Dunn's work than like five or six other random art books.
How old is Dunn's work?
It's like 5 years old or something.
Okay,
like that.
So it's pretty recent.
I think it was 2015. I'm not totally sure though.
It's not like from the 60s.
No.
No.
Yeah, you can rip off those guys.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. You probably could, and they wouldn't be dead or something like that. Right.
Right. It is tough because it is, like I said, it's fundamentals, you know, it's fundamental practices, but you know, there are some weird like parallels with wording and phrasing.
And just how he breaks stuff down.
Right. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, everyone has gone kind of quiet on it. So at the end of the day, it'll probably go to court or.
I think they're in litigation right now on it.
You know, The you know, it could be bad for Jake Parker. It could be bad for Alfonso Dunn, because if, like, let's say this litigation ends and they decide that it wasn't plagiarism, when you have really easily documented proof of how much Alfonso Dunn hurt Jake Parker financially.
Right.
Because like, Amazon pulled the book. Right. Like the book is, you know, the book is not out.
So he's fucked.
Yeah, the book was supposed to come out this October.
So he's screwed. Like the first guy who's suing, like that you ripped me off, he better win, otherwise he's hosed.
Right. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I think that's the real thing that's come out of all this stuff is like Alfonso Dunn came out with like an hour long video about how he was ripped off. And immediately, like, the mass that is the internet was like, yeah, F. Parker.
You know? Right.
Yeah. And it's just this rush to judgment that is really, you know, it's really kind of nasty.
It's how the internet works.
It is how the internet works.
Yeah.
You know,
it's all that shit in art that I don't want to deal with. It's fucking harsh. You know what I mean? And here's the thing is your art, like, but we put out art and we put it on Instagram and we put it on Facebook. Like when you do a piece, it's yours, but pretty much people can steal it. Right. I mean, really, I mean, what the fuck are you going to do?
Right.
You know,
well, it's just hard to be original also, I would say.
Oh yeah. There's so much. I mean, you know, there are millions of people. Well, it's funny. I'm doing a video every day and a drawing every day. But it's not Inktober. I'm calling it Chancetober.
Nice.
So what I've done is because so many people were upset about this whole Inktober thing, they all made their own prompts. And so I was like, what am I going to do? And so I grabbed 12 prompts that I found online. And every day I roll a 12-sided die. And that's the prompt list I choose.
Thank you for being a nerd.
Yeah. Totally. Have any of you guys read the
book? So you couldn't come up with...
What's that?
There's like a book called... I think it's called The Dice Man. It's about this guy who... he decides to bring dice with him. And for everything he runs into, every choice he runs into, he rolls the dice. It's like horrifying the stuff he gets involved with, basically, because of it.
Chris, what were you gonna say?
Oh, I was gonna say, so Dan, you couldn't come up with 20 ideas then, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, 20-sided die.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he found 12 different prompt lists.
Right.
So people can come up with these lists of like 30 days in October or 31?
31.
Right. I don't 31. Know.
So 31 prompts, one for each day.
Right.
And Dan's rolling the dice each day, and then he'll pick a different prompt. No, like scary or
with the 20-sided dice, it should be how good the drawing is. If you roll a 20, it's gonna be a kick ass drawing.
Oh yeah. Oh.
But if you roll a 1, it's gonna be a completely like a stick figure. A total fail. Yeah, right.
You like rip the paper in half accidentally.
So you just draw like a stick figure.
Is this
I think if you roll a 1.
Is it open-ended?
If you roll a 1, you have to stab yourself with the pen. Okay.
And if you roll a 20, you have to do a masterpiece. You know, if you roll like a 3, yeah, you probably you rip off that guy from Inktober, I guess. You know, like,
and then you get sued.
Yeah, right. You're rolling a 3.
No, I think if it's a 1, you have to stab yourself with a pencil or pen. If you roll a 20, you go to the nearest art museum or gallery and just steal whatever you want. And they can't do anything.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, that's how those paintings at the Gardner Museum disappeared.
Yeah.
Someone rolled a bunch of
20s. Yeah. Somebody rolled a bunch of 20s and knocked out a guard and whatever.
But it's,
yeah, I live next door to that when that happened.
Oh, sorry, Dan.
Well, let me before we wrap up, let me ask Dan one more thing.
Okay.
And this is kind of a holdover from the last episode. So that movie you worked on, Anomalisa.
Yeah.
One thing that's odd about it is except for the main character and one other main character, everyone talks with the same voice and they have the same face. And I was wondering. Yes. Like I come up with my own theories about why that's happening, but I guess I want to hear it from somebody who worked on the show, or the movie.
Well, if I was Charlie Kaufman, I would ask you what it meant.
Okay.
But oh my God, what, Michael Stone. There we go. Oh my God. Okay, it's all coming back to it. It's all coming back. The main character, Michael Stone. Nice. he checks in at a hotel called the Fregoli.
Ah, Fregoli.
The Fregoli.
Like Italian square.
And Fregoli what does syndrome. That mean? Well, Fregoli syndrome is a delusion and belief that everyone around you is really kind of the same person. And they're persecuting you. Like everyone's kind of after you, and you can't really. It's like a face blindness.
Right.
So what he sees is everyone as basically the same.
Right.
Which is weird because he's a motivational speaker trying to make everyone happy, but no one like.
But no he's super unhappy.
He's super unhappy. Unfulfilled. Yeah. Yeah. And he's living in a world full of zombies, zombie clones.
Right. Yeah. I kind of took it as like, you know, like you're kind of going through life and kind of life loses its own meaning and.
Right.
You kind of don't connect with anyone. So I felt like everyone having the same face and voice means like they're kind of like he's just not connecting with those people. And then this one person who sounds different, he like immediately is like, oh, this person is different and something clicks in me with this person.
Right.
And that's why they sound different.
Yeah. And, but the second you spend, you know, he spent what, a night with her? And by, you know, by the end of breakfast, she was just as
spoilers.
Everyone else. So yeah, spoilers.
you heard it here, folks.
Yeah, you heard it here first. I mean, the movie came out like maybe how many years ago?
Almost 5, 6 years ago?
5 years ago, but you heard it here first.
Yeah, probably. I mean, the joke was that there'd be a sequel that Lisa got pregnant on that night.
Uh-huh.
And had a little Fregoli baby, Michael Stone.
Nice. Fregoli.
I hope it means a square in Italian.
I think Dan explained what it meant.
I did explain.
Yes, he did. But Carl will continue to walk this earth knowing deep in his heart that it is a swear in Italian.
It will become a swear on this podcast. I know that.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So do we want to go through and say our...
No, Chris, you get any questions? We're only at 50 minutes. We could go a little longer.
We can make it a three-parter.
No, we
don't do that.
We could. Actually, you're good. You're good, Randy. Like, you're definitely. I think we get some good stuff here.
Part three is all about conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Chris, you got any more questions for Dan?
I think I'm good for right now. That's is really interesting.
I need to figure out how to get that French press. That's what I need to do.
Oh, yeah. I'll send you the info on that. Yeah.
You start drawing coffee presses and you see what happens. No, that's a good experiment, Dan. You just start doing Instagram coffee presses and tag the coffee.
Yeah.
Chris, tell them the coffee press company. You tag them.
Yeah.
And let's see if they... It'll be an experiment. You email us if they give you a free coffee press.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, Dan, do you have any questions for us?
Yeah.
So many.
Did you hear Andy?
Yeah, I did. I have so many questions. So, I mean, we're ready. I think it's really interesting. I feel like Andy and I are kind of, I mean, I think I mentioned it, are very parallel in some of our career paths in that we both moved to LA and then we both got out when we felt like we could.
Yeah.
And now we're doing, you know, we are working for other people, but also, I mean, we're here for ourselves. I've been able to use this time, you know, like I said, just to start drawing and reconnecting with my own personal creative side. And I feel like Andy's here for the same reasons. And Carl, I just rediscovered your paintings and art. I think I saw, like, you had a comic book or something like that when I first met you in Boston after I graduated.
Oh, shit.
That was a long time ago. It was a long time ago. But, you know, I think we're all like, I haven't done a lot of research, but I feel like we're all on this weird kind of cusp of like, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what I'm like, why am I doing all this art? Why am I making a video every day? of drawing. Yeah. Just, and it's I'm not saying it, you know, it's fun, but it's also like, you know, I am, you know, you work all day and then it's just weird, like, you know, cruising for a bruise and like, you know, oh wow, making content is hard.
Yeah.
Totally.
And I know Andy's drawing, like you're doing a drawing every day.
Well, I stopped because I've been, I'm giving a talk next weekend as part of the Massachusetts Independent Comics Expo.
Oh yeah, that's coming up.
I'm
right.
giving a talk on storyboarding and I've been freaking out because I'm good at public speaking. I'm good at public speaking, but I'm really bad at preparing for public speaking.
Yeah,
I remember.
And so
yeah,
I've spent
that.
The whole month of October being anxious.
Oh, me? I was going to say, I remember like it was right towards my end at in LA. You flew out to where'd you go? Like,
I forget where, but I flew out.
Was
I went
it
to
here. You I, went I, somewhere.
Yeah, well, I went to Lego. I gave a talk at Lego. They right. flew me out there to give a talk. I gave a talk in Berlin at Pictoplasma. Gave a talk at.
And I just remember you being like, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. Like,
yeah.
I remember you being like super anxious. Like, I'll figure it out on the plane.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, these talks, I've done a bunch of them and my anxiety levels just get worse every time I do a new one. And I'm not quite sure. It's like I keep forcing myself to do them because I'm hoping at some point I'll relax, but that hasn't happened yet. Like,
right.
I taught at RISD second semester, like as the pandemic hit, and the class went well. The students were great, and I thought like my lessons went well, and I did a good job. But that was like, it was such a stressful experience for me that. I'm like, I don't know if I can be a teacher.
Yeah, I thought about that.
It's just
about
too
that.
Stressful.
Like, yeah. Going to like, you know, I went to grad school before I moved out. I went to grad school thinking I could learn, you know, get some learning in as far as like CG animation and just take some time off to learn that stuff. And then I got out of grad school and I immediately went back to stop motion completely unintentionally. But you know, with the thought that maybe I'd go into teaching at some point, and it, you know, the idea of like talking to these kids, I mean, these studio classes, like you were, you know, I know you were in there for like 8 hours a day. Like,
well, it was 5 hours. It wasn't quite freshman foundation classes, but it was a 5 hour class. And like, I think I could do a 3 hour class but 5 hours is like, I'm panicking for a lot of that time internally.
Yeah.
And
but
it went well, and it's funny because the students are awesome, and to see what they're creating is like super inspiring and amazing. But like figuring out lessons and then like following through on the lessons and being like just self-doubt and stuff like that I don't know.
Yeah, well, 5 hours, there's just got to be a fatigue level too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right. Are you talking most of the time?
No. You give a lecture and then you have projects they work on. And by the end of it, I kind of had a rhythm where I would meet with each student individually over the course of the 5 hours. And that would go really quickly. But there's always like start a class, you kind of like go over the homework and you have a critique. And depending on the people in the class, this is my first time teaching, but I sat in on some other classes and like substitutes, and those classes, the students were much more talkative. And so they kind of led the conversation, but I had to lead the conversation in my class. Cause no one wanted to
talk.
Do
you have freshmen or something like that?
No. So
you had
sophomores and juniors.
Somebody just had
seniors.
Like a class of a bunch of loudmouths and.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say loudmouths, but you know, like there are people who are amazing at critiquing. Like,
yeah. You're right.
You know, like I would say, like out of the kids I hung out with, I had a friend who is an amazing artist that we should probably get on the podcast, Saul Chernick. He's a fine artist, but he is an amazing critiquer, and he thinks he like knows how to break things down and think in terms of like artistic lingo and stuff like that. And that's just not my forte.
Right.
You know, like that's not my wheelhouse. I like know how to think about Shogun Warriors.
You could be like, hey, Saul, I'll invite you to a podcast class.
Yeah. Yeah, be a guest artist.
You break down these students' paintings.
Yeah. No, I mean, he teaches the stuff. I'm sure I could invite him to a class and he could be a guest artist.
Right.
It would be amazing.
But then you get the students who make up another student in the class that doesn't really exist. And then you bring daddy ice
what?
Class and tell the teacher it's just really water from Canada.
Yeah.
No. Is this missing?
I mean, this is all familiar to me, but I imagine this is stuff that happened while we were in class together.
Yes.
I remember Natty Ice. Is this
Didn't I Doc feel like Phoenix?
What are we talking about?
What's that?
Doc Phoenix?
Was that his no I feel like was it who was
a different Was it Ankus did the animation?
In our senior animation class, I feel like it's who was it? Oh my god. Yeah, we should talk about something else.
You really got serious here. We got to finish the story.
Yeah. Didn't
We don't have to give names, but just describe what happened.
Wasn't another student invented that never showed up to class because he didn't exist?
That's no excuse.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you're right. I don't know the full details.
I feel like a student was invented in the classroom that didn't really exist. Yeah. It was just really to fuck with Amy Kravitz.
But I feel like he had a, on the computer where we all did our test, our animation tests, he had a folder with actual animation in it and stuff like
right.
that, too.
Yeah.
Even though he didn't exist.
Right.
All right, I guess that didn't pan out
you
as
can
well.
Edit that out.
No, whatever. I don't know. Should we edit this out or
it
sounds
interesting?
Right. So, do you guys hear the rain? It's raining on the arch.
It's raining in the shed.
Just wondering.
I was wondering what that was.
Yeah. Does it sound like static or something?
No, it's relaxing.
No, it sounded like rain. I thought it might be raining.
Yeah.
Oh, good. It's a meditative thing where you get.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think this is it.
Looked out the window in the rain. And we're sad.
Yeah. Right, exactly. That's why I put the dramatic piano.
So if you were doing rain in the stop motion animation, how would you do that?
It'd pee post. on the dolls.
What would
actually,
you
actually I said post, but no
that, post.
Oh okay, yeah. That makes sense.
There's actually a stuff it's funny, it's made for museums, it's called Quakehold. It's a jar of like clear like goo, and people use it. You put it on the bottom of like your pottery and you put it on a shelf so it won't like it'll stick to your shelf during an earthquake and it won't fall off, but it doesn't cure, so you can actually peel it back up. That stuff works great.
Uh-huh.
Quake hold.
Nice.
Oh shit, the rain has gotten harder.
All right, maybe we should wrap this up.
Everybody
everybody
talk about their Dan, where can they
find
the
hills
you? Where can they find you, Dan?
Find me on Instagram, that Dan Driscoll.
All right.
You can check out Chancetober. It should be just about over by the time this comes out, hopefully.
Chancetober is over.
Yeah.
All right.
MadCarl.com, Carl Restaino on Instagram.
AndyRestaino.com, and you can find links to all my other stuff there.
And I'm LiveFireCook on Instagram and YouTube and LiveFireCook.com. Yep.
And until next time, folks, crack a freaking beer, draw some freaking weird animation, fall off a cliff, and
make up a fake person.
And maybe even travel across the country, I think, in a shitbox car.
Get a free coffee press.
Yeah. Drop a coffee press. You now you know. You learn shit.
Yeah, we are hitting on mad tips.
And next time we'll be here with Andy, Chris, not the end of man, but it's been a pleasure hanging with you.
Yeah, man.
You never know.
Thanks, man.
Peace out, everyone.